At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. And it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So we're going to type in an email address. Good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now we go over here. And we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in an address. And the city. And we'll choose our state. And we don't need a phone number. And it wants us to make sure that we're not a robot, so we'll do that. Wow. and we'll create the account. And now the account's been created. Now, there is a share code. I don't remember what it is right now, but it doesn't really matter. Now you'd go over here and type in Vibe. It's your first product you're looking for. And there is the fruit and veggies superfood liquid multivitamin. Click on that. And you're going to order. I recommend that you order two, and I'll tell you why. If you order two of them and add those to the cart. Now, here comes the cart. Now, you're going to get your second bottle for half off when you type in Chosen Gen Radio. Chosen Gen Radio and click apply. And that's going to give you $20 off. Plus, you're going to unlock free shipping. So now when you get your order, you'll get no shipping charge, 2 months worth for the price of a month and a half. And then you can go back over and you can securely check out, put in your billing information and so on, and you're off to the races. So that's how you do it. Nice and easy. Again, cgrwellness.com. When that little window pops up, just X out of it. You don't need that because you're going to get a $20 discount. Once you completed the form and created the account, go to the top, click in Vibe, and then go. Now, I use Vibe, Resvante, Ultra Shot, the EPA fish oil, the Flex, and I also use, this is your apple cider vinegar. And this is your ashwagandha. I use those as well. I'm going to run through this really quick with you. Again, omega-3. And then these products up here. Your Vibe. Your Resvante. The Ultra Shot. And the Flex. Those are the ones that I personally use every single day. I can recommend each and every one of those to you and just assure you that they do a great job. They've made a gigantic difference in my health. All right. God bless you. God bless your health. And thank you for supporting our Indian ministry through this as well. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for sticking around and being with us. Wanted to share with you those kind of announcement things. I believe is kind of the root for why we do what we do. At the end of the day, is our call to action, and then of course encourage you. Check out these products behind us, because truly, if we got to take care of this temple in order to be able to take the next step. So encourage you to do that. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. He has been with us several times before. It's been a little while, too long actually, but I'm very pleased to get him back on the program with us. And he is coming to us. He has just gotten back, actually, from a month-long stay in Israel. We were talking with Dr. David Wormser about Israel a little bit and the thwarting of the terrorist efforts in Cyprus and the capture of the terrorist leader literally in Iran. But there's a lot that is taking place right now, and I want to welcome Dr. Christian Widener to the program. Dr. Widener, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Greg. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
It is. It's a joy. It's a joy. I really appreciate it. I encourage folks all the time to pick up your books, Witnessing the End, and then also The Temple Revealed, and because there's just such great insight into in both of these. So let's begin, you know, with your trip to Israel, and what were some of the big things that stood out to you? Is this your first time over there?
No, so this was the third trip.
Okay.
And it seems like every time, you know, it's there's something to do with writing a book. The first trip was really just a call, I think, from the Lord to go, and I took my whole family. And it was really just to learn about the land of the Bible. But I had been studying about the temple on my own, going back to about 2008. And so I wanted to, there's a lot of things you can read and study and pull up, but to stand there and see it with your own eyes is just, you know, it's confirmation, and it's a more visceral, you know, experience. You really get, you're looking at, okay, hey, this is where the temple should have been. And so that was the first time that I really got to connect with it with my own eyes. But as an engineer, I was looking for the location and was thinking through it in just a, you know, a physical, rational way. Hey, how could it be one thing when you see this evidence in another direction?
Right.
But this last time was another time I've still felt God calling me back there, and we took the whole family. So that was a real blessing. But I was also looking for evidence of Solomon.
Okay.
And if any of the listeners have been on a tour there, you would think, based on what the Bible describes about Solomon, that there would be literally remains and ruins and archaeological evidence from Solomon's reign all over Israel, and that people would be pointing it out and showing it to you.
Okay.
But they don't. And so that's the kind of weird thing. They can find the Canaanites. They can find the times of the judges. They can find, you know, everybody, but they can't find Solomon somehow. And in reality, that's impossible.
Right.
So what you know is it's not that they haven't found him, it's that they haven't identified him correctly.
Okay.
And they've kind of erased him. It was on the hunt for that. And so that would actually be another book, hopefully coming out next year, about, hey, here's the evidence for all the things you're looking at in Israel that really Solomon built that they say other people built. For example, like the Temple Mount, they say Herod built it. And the book will present the evidence that, no, it truly is Solomon. It's one of the wonders of the ancient world. And it was built by Solomon, not Herod.
Wow. That changes a lot of things.
It does. I mean, it's confidence in the Bible. It's, you know, there's not really a prophetic narrative, but I think it hurts when, you know, the Bible says one thing and the secular world says another. And when we go with the secular world, and even Christians are influenced, you know, in that way.
Sure.
Too.
Well, it hurts the witness of the scriptures, because one of the ways that they attempt to tear down the Bible is to say, well, it was just written by men, and right. And you know, and here's a fallacy, and here's yeah. another fallacy, and you know, and that I remember there's a place in Luke that specifically talks about one of the tetrarchs. And I believe it's Lee Strobel that brings it out, but the point of it is that it signals literally the time in which Christ walked on the earth.
Yeah.
And it validates those dates. And people had questioned that particular tetrarch's existence.
Yeah.
Until I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, they unearthed an archaeological piece that verified that particular tetrarch in that particular region at that particular time. Do you yes. you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's in the list where he says in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, and you know, in the year that he made a census, and I'm forgetting the exact wording without looking it up.
Yeah,
but absolutely, that's the time. And the other key thing that's in the book, but that timing that's in Luke helps you figure out when there was a jubilee. And so that's also a neat thing. There's a, I make a case that actually that we do know when the years of Jubilee were, and that there's one that's revealed in the New Testament, one revealed in the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel. And if we put those together, they're actually on the same 50-year cycle. They're two independent dates you're pulling from Scripture, and they just happen to be on the same 50-year cycle. And you go, is that a coincidence, or is that actually proof that these are the Jubilee years?
Right.
And so, and then looking forward, there's it's in line with the decree, which is another thing that the title of the book is Witnessing the End, the final decree that everyone missed. Daniel 77 is in the final decree everyone missed because there was another decree. And that was another powerful part of that trip, was going on the Temple Mount and going directly to that decree and really filming it and kind of showing, look, here it is in stone, a decree for all to see. And, you know, has the date 1537, which gives this account that could indicate, you know, that we're in the time of the tribulation, and actually it would be that the time of the tribulation has already begun. Mm-hmm. And you go, come on, that can't be. Look how great the world is right now.
Well, yeah, isn't that the 3.5-year point? But in reality, I would argue the world isn't that great right now, honestly, Christian. Right. I mean, look, we just talked to, you know, Dr. David Wormser and I were just talking about what's going on in France right now. And that's a Muslim uprising, by the way, which the mainstream media is not telling people, to my knowledge. Yeah. I've looked and it isn't, you know, and I'll tell you something else they didn't report. There were 3 bombings yesterday in Washington, D.C., in the capital of the United States.
I did not see that.
Yeah. 3 bombs went off yesterday. 2 explosives and a Molotov cocktail. They hit a Nike store. They hit a Safeway and they hit a bank.
Oh, yeah.
And the bank was just blocks from the Supreme Court and the Capitol.
Wow.
And with all the cameras they've got in D.C., and we know they've got a ton of cameras because look what they did to the J6 people, right? They were tracking them all over the dadgum city. With all those cameras, we can't figure out who the assailant is. Give me a break. The problem is the assailant doesn't match who they want the assailant to be.
Yeah, and so then they don't tell the story.
So the story remains mute anyway, but there's uprisings. I mean, Christian persecution. I'm on the board for Save the Persecuted Christians. 380 million Christians around the world are under persecution right this second. There are wars. We've got the war in Ukraine that's going on. We've got genocide happening in Nigeria. We've got assaults taking place in Syria right now. We've got the battle that's happening at the Turkish border with and the Armenians that are once again facing slaughter. We've got the advancement of China and what China is doing.
Oh yeah, they're still winding up.
We've got terrorism at our own border, at the southern border of the United States. We've got unrest in just about every city and violence, and we're having a good time. I'm all about cup half full, but Christian, honestly, I don't see the good. I see evil. Children are being mutilated. Tomorrow, maybe even today, but Jim Caviezel's new movie is coming out, Sounds of Freedom, which is highlighting this just absolutely gigantic issue of child sex trafficking.
It's unbelievable. We're the frog in the pot. And the water's a lot hotter than most people realize, unless they're doing like what you're talking about, and they're really looking at what's going on.
There's no question. I mean, now the good news is we know the answer, and that's great, and we need to be preaching the answer, but we cannot turn a blind eye and pretend as though the world doesn't need saving right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it does more than ever. I mean, we're always, needing Jesus. There's never been a people that didn't need him, and didn't need the Messiah of Israel. But he is at the door. You know, his return is so close, and is the world ready for it? And of course, it's not.
So to that end, I think there's a tie-in there. We're going to run out of minutes here in this half hour. You're with us for a whole nother half hour. Mm-hmm. And we are going to take our top of the hour break, folks, and then we're going to go all the way through until we bring on Carrie Lake, which is going to happen at the bottom of the next hour. But Christian, just really quickly as we begin to head into this, it would seem to me that the signs of what's going on would be playing a role in the impetus of Israel saying, we need to get back to the temple. We need to get back to this temple sacrifice. Did you have a sense of that when you were there?
It was very quiet.
Okay.
But you can see, and thankfully, for the terrorism and all that. But right after we got back, there was somebody arrested who was trying to reinstate the daily sacrifice on the Temple Mount. So, it's there. I mean, it's there is such a there's a real, spirit that's wanting to bring that back. And yet there's a spirit that's fighting against that. Right. And so you do see some of that,
tension.
But thankfully while we were there, it was actually pretty quiet. There was though, one of the big pride parades that went through Jerusalem.
Oh boy.
And, as you think about in the city of God, right, you have, Satan thumbing his nose, at righteousness, at goodness. They're trying to, say, hey, look, this is right. We man can choose, and we can flaunt this in front of God, even in his own city. And you just no, you know what? That's not going to be tolerated, for that long. I mean, it was tolerated that day. Right. But it's they're the judgment for that is not asleep.
No.
All of that tension is there in the city.
Hold that thought. We'll be back with more. Dr. Christian Widener, author of The Temple Revealed and Witnessing the End. We'll be back with more coming up right after this brief break. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present, one's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My special guest, Dr. Christian Widener, and we're talking about the things that are happening over in Israel right now. You were mentioning, I apologize, before we went into that break, you were kind of leading us up to what was going on and some of the signs that are happening over there and kind of where they're moving as it relates to the temple. Now, I was talking with Rafael Cruz, who was over there just recently, and he said that he was, you know, ministering in a lot of messianic Jewish congregations over there. And for folks that may not be familiar with that term, that means that these are congregations that believe that Yeshua HaMashiach is the Messiah and that the Messiah has come. To that end, we have the five red heifers. And my understanding is that the current plan is that they are going to sacrifice the heifers this coming Passover to purify the priests in preparation of getting ready to start the temple sacrifices, because they can't actually do the temple sacrifice until they purify the priesthood.
Yeah, that's correct. The only sacrifice, there's only two sacrifices they really should be able to make right now. The Passover sacrifice, which they're commanded to make, even if they're not clean, And so that one that can be done anytime, and the red heifer sacrifice, which is the sacrifice to become clean.
Right.
And so, and then there's some people that, that would try to claim or find, and maybe that this would hold weight in the Jewish community, but that, you know, if they had a rabbi who was born outside of the hospital and had never touched a dead corpse and had been never made ritually impure, a young man, mm-hmm. that would then be of the priestly line, there, it's possible they could say, okay, well, we have somebody who is ritually pure still. But mostly they've counted that all of the people have somehow been, you know, contaminated.
Right.
And so that's why they would say that everyone's impure, because they don't have a way to make you clean again. And that everybody, at least at some point in their life, has touched somebody
or
something. Yep. That would disqualify them. But yes, they have these red heifers now. This is a huge historic, event that happened, you know, last year, at the end of last year. It carries now, and they still have these heifers. They have the land on the Mount of Olives where they can perform the sacrifice. And that sacrifice actually is not so hard to do as the one that they need to do on the Temple Mount. So to do the Passover sacrifice or the daily sacrifice, like this guy that was just recently arrested for trying to sacrifice an animal on the Temple Mount,
okay.
That's a much more charged area. And there's security, you know, all around the Temple Mount. Every gate is got soldiers at it, things like that. So it's much more difficult to get onto the Temple Mount to make that sacrifice if the police aren't allowing it. But the red heifers would be outside of the temple, because the red heifer had to be sacrificed outside of the camp.
Okay.
And outside the camp means outside the old city walls. And so the where they would do that was on the Mount of Olives. And they do have a place where they can do that. And I think you're right. They're going to do it this year. I don't know if they'll do it at Passover or when for sure, but everything's in place for them to be able to do that one.
Now, the Times of Israel, let me see this. Okay, so the Times of Israel has an article out that says that this was a long time ago. Never mind, that one doesn't count. Recently, my understanding is that Netanyahu has basically said that, yes, the Temple Mount is going to be built. And he has ordered that it should be built within the next, I don't know, 36 to 48 months, something along that line. Did you hear any buzz about that while you were over there?
I didn't see maybe that statement that he made, but what I did see was that they were talking about dividing the Temple Mount.
Okay.
And creating a northern area, which just so happens that the true location of the temple fits inside that space.
Right.
That the real temple was in. That's the first book, actually, is to explain mm-hmm. how you can know for sure that the temple was really in that northern part, directly in front of the Golden Gate. That even today, everybody, Jews, Muslims, Christians, all have the tradition that Golden Gate is the Messianic Gate, that's the end time gate.
Okay.
And so the one that's walled up and faces the Mount of Olives. And so you look at the temple and you see this gate, this beautiful gate that's walled up that they just, everybody kind of knows, but they go, yeah, but that's not where the temple is. Like, yes, of course, that's where the temple is. You know, it's the old ancient gate. It's reported in every pilgrim, every visitor to Jerusalem. Even Josephus says that all of the gates of the temple were destroyed except the east gate and the southern gate. And you go, oh, which gate is that? The east gate is the Golden Gate. And the southern gate is now, you can only see the very edge of it because it, later, Muslims built some building that was kind of, and they walled up that gate and they put, but it's still there. And that's the beautiful gate. And actually, that's the gate that's in the New Testament. They say the gate beautiful,
mm-hmm.
that was Solomon's portico. And that gate goes underground for, you know, maybe 100 yards or so, and then has a ramp and comes up to the Temple Mount surface. And so it, which is actually now they've, it's been made into a stair, but you go through that and come up, but that's still Solomon's portico is still there.
And that's the beautiful gate. That's the one where that had back then in Jesus' time, a majority of the traffic, right? That came through yes, the gate. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's the southern gate because that went down to the pathway that walked all the way down to the Pool of Siloam where there were lots of mikvahs where people could wash, but for the regular people who were coming, especially on the appointed feasts, like when they had to come at the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, right, and they had to come at Sukkot and Passover, they would have to go through that pool to wash, and then they would walk this path, and they would come up the southern steps, go through Solomon's portico, and then come up to the Temple Mount, and then enter into the temple area.
And so that was the gate that Jesus would have come through multiple times in his lifetime.
Absolutely, yeah. And that where they were teaching, and in the outer courts, it says they were in the temple, and they were, you know, trying to preach and convince people that Jesus was the Messiah. All that was happening there in that time. Yeah,
and it's interesting. The only reason I bring it up, folks, is that one of the things that I've preached about is you know, in Acts chapters 3 and 4, the man who's lying there when Peter and John go by and mm-hmm. say, "Silver and gold we don't have, but that which we have we give unto you. Rise up and walk." And I talk about the fact that Jesus walked past that man. If he was lying there for 40 years, which is what the yeah. word says, crying out, then Jesus walked past him multiple times, multiple mm-hmm. times, and never acknowledges point. Him, never acknowledges him. To those that suggest that, oh, well, you know, healing isn't for today, or, you know, all the, you know, things about... Healing is for when it happens. I mean, we have healings yeah. in India. We just had, you know, this last week when we did our service, 41 people accepted Christ, 26 people received healing.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Miracle healing. 26 people had healings of different, you know, maladies and mm-hmm. different issues, whether they were medical issues. In one case, it was the restoration of a family. But we have miracles every single week when we have our services in India that I do over Skype every single week. But my point for those that question that has been the gate beautiful was a gate that Jesus went by and walked past mm-hmm. this person and, you know, and the person never was healed because it wasn't God's time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's an excellent point.
And yeah. you know, relative to the same thing we're talking about with this whole temple situation, mm-hmm. because how many times, I mean, I've been saved now since the 1970s, but I know that in the 1970s, everybody talked about, you know, how are they going to have to build the temple? Oh, they're going to have to tear down the dome, and they're going to have right. to, you know, and they're, you know, they're going to have to take it, and maybe they're going to build it over here, and then they're going to move it up onto the mountain. And I just remember them having all kinds of logistical issues and challenges relative to that. Your discovery, which validates discovery, I mean, that you're not the first mm-hmm. one to suggest this.
No,
you're not claiming to be the first one to suggest this. You're just simply saying from an engineer's perspective, from someone who's done mm-hmm. a deep dive into this, what others have said... Yes, I can. I can validate that. That yes, it all works. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it works, and there's actually the evidence, irrefutable evidence, if people would really look at it, because you have landmarks. You have a piece of the bedrock of the mountain that's flat as a threshing floor, and you have a gate that goes back all the way to the first temple. With giant gateposts that are still in place, they're still part of the original wall. That gives you two unmovable landmarks. And if you have two landmarks, it's the smoking gun. It's like finding sure. the murder weapon with fingerprints on it.
Sure,
it's you're done. You've got it.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and your book, it puts all of these. It is the only one out there that really you know, there may be some that have followed it, but it puts all of the pieces together so that someone can really understand the significance of this and the truth that is associated with it, and then the biblical context for why that truth is so, why that is all so important for us to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is the temple important? You know, why is that where, you know, well, I don't know why, but recognizing that that's where God said, this is the place where I'm going to put my throne and the soles of my feet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we can't treat that lightly. That's not, you know, an accident, or it's not unimportant that he chose Jerusalem, and he's not done with Jerusalem.
Well, and I think it's also important to understand, because again, you know, growing up and getting saved in the 70s, there was all this conversation about, you know, well, how, you know, how's there going to be an abomination of desolation? How are they going to violate, mm-hmm. you know, the place where the sacrifice, I mean, how's that? It doesn't even exist. I mean, it existed right then, but they don't even do those kinds of sacrifices anymore. And they're really, honestly, 50 years ago, didn't seem to be a real pathway back to mm-hmm. that really ever happening again, to them ever actually starting temple sacrifices again. It just seems so far-fetched, if yeah. you will. And now here we are, and it certainly appears that in the next year or so, we're looking at the beginning of temple sacrifices.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always a mistake to say, how could God fulfill his word? Right. That's impossible. that couldn't be literal, because, you know, God couldn't do that. Bring right. that to pass.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, no, yeah. It's no, you know, difficult thing for him to complete his word. He's already determined it. It will happen.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing about this journey right now that's I guess surprising you?
Oh, for where we're, you know, one of the things is I did think that as we were getting into these last days, that it would be, I think we all imagined that it would be so much more terrible, and how easily we because, you know, because of this frog in the pot problem, you know, we forget that it says men, people will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage right up until, you know, the end, right? Just like in the days of Noah, and just like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sure, sure.
And but we think like, yeah, but no, it would be obvious. It's going to be so, and like, yes, it is. But we so quickly acclimate to the new terrible condition. Yeah. And just go, well, but it's only a little bit worse. Well, it's only a little bit worse. And we really forget how far we've come. Like, imagine the things that we're seeing now in 2018, 2019. People would have laughed.
Right.
You know, just 4 years ago, no right. way the world is going to look like it does in 2023. They just wouldn't have believed it.
Right, right.
And yet, well, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, look at the whole COVID situation that struck mm-hmm. us. And how that has, you know, completely changed so many things, right?
Yeah.
The whole idea of, you know, an entire world, the whole world, folks.
Yeah.
You know, being put on lockdown, the whole world being, you know, put in this, we're going to inoculate you. And if you don't get the inoculation, then you can't go here or you can't go there.
That's
right. You know,
I won't be able to buy or sell.
Well, speaking of that, did you have to get inoculated in order to go to Israel?
No, nope.
Okay.
So thankfully, in fact, actually, that was one of the things that why it took me. I wanted to go back, even going in, like near the fall of 2020 or spring of 2021.
Right.
And we didn't go until all the COVID restrictions were dropped.
Okay.
And okay. So that was another, you know, thing about just waiting. It didn't feel right. And then they did drop them, and then was starting to think about it. And then a trip came up, and there's a way that God can tap you on the shoulder mm-hmm. that you don't hear, but somehow you just know that you've been called to do something.
Right.
And it was like that for us. Felt like, okay, yep, this is it. And, you know, in that spiritual way that, yes, if when you've walked with the Lord, you know, you probably at times felt that you had to do something and you'd feel impelled and you don't have a good explanation except for the Holy Spirit moves within his children to get us where we need to be.
You mentioned to me as we were coming on air, and I don't want to miss this, that there you felt that there were things that people really need to know, that this is that we're at a significant time. We got about 6 minutes. Can you run through what you mean by that? What do people need to know, Christian?
Yeah, well, that the Lord's return really is near, that these things that we're seeing historically are unique. There's arguments out there that say, yeah, but people have always thought the Lord's return was near, right? We've thought that the Lord's return, you know, since the 70s, you know, people have been convinced.
Yep.
And but not realizing that all the time we're getting closer, right? This is not, you know, that there's just more. And the book Witnessing the End that you showed and held up there earlier, it really tries to put all of these prophecies and signs together to help you see the big picture of where we are prophetically. And there are, and I look at like, okay, hey, here's one prophecy and here's why that prophecy tells us that we're at the end, but here's a different prophecy. And guess what? When you follow it through logically and follow what God has said, it also points to the same time. And that's one of the understandings, the oldest prophetic teaching in the early church is that the Lord would return when the earth was 6,000 years old. And a lot of people don't realize that goes back to like 100 AD that the church, early church fathers wrote that the day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day, that means that just like the 6 days of creation, that there would be 6,000 years. And then the seventh year was the Sabbath rest. And a lot of people don't understand why is the millennium supposed to be 1,000 years. And a lot of people question whether, you know, the millennium is a true 1,000 year period or just some kind of long, there's an amillennial position that says, well, it's just, you know, a long period of time. And it's like, no, the Bible says it's 1,000 years. Why? Because that 1,000 years is 1,000 year rest for the 7 days of creation. There's going to be 7,000 years, 6,000 are now almost complete. And we're about to enter into this new era that under a messianic rule on the earth, how can that be? We can't imagine it because it hasn't happened yet, but it's just like the guys before the flood, could they imagine what was about to come? No, but Noah and his family believed God and they made preparation.
It's interesting. I sent you that. I don't know if you look. I believe you were looking.
Yes, I have.
You know, he goes through and lines out biblical prophecy with headlines,
right?
And his and over and over and over and his argument. Now I'm probably going to be bringing him on the show. We'll talk a little about. I'd love to talk to you about that. But his argument is look, you know, no, we don't know the day, like like is it, you know, July 8th, right?
Right.
At 3. So we don't know the day or the hour. But it doesn't mean we don't know the season. It doesn't mean we can't even know the year. We can know the year. We can know that within the next 365 days, based on everything that is happening right now, Christ is probably going to be back sometime in the next 365 days. We can know that. We can know that all we can narrow it down and have the signs that would indicate. I mean, there's a lot of people that are saying 2027 is it. 2027 is the lock.
I think it is because of, well, all these things in the book, but one of them is the Jubilee. So there was a Jesus read from a scroll that says to proclaim liberty to the captives. And that's a quote of what's in the year of Jubilee. And he says, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. And so you go, well, you know, that sounds like he's saying the Jubilee year was right then. And, but we know from Luke's, what you mentioned about Luke and,
yeah.
and giving the timing in those years, that that was 27 AD. Now, some people debate that it was later, that it was 29. I talk about those little subtle arguments in the book of why, no, it is 27. But that gives you 27. Well, a 50 year counting by 50 years, you know, 2027 is also on that same Jubilee year.
Wow.
And you go, the Lord is he, because of the prophetic image of the Jubilee, you know that, yes, this is all going to finish on a Jubilee. And if we have some Jubilee years that are given in Scripture, then I think, yes, that's telling us we're there.
Get your house in order. That's what yes. it's saying. It's
get
saying,
your house in order.
Get your yeah. house in order. The good news we have, the good news we have is the power of the grace, the power of the transformation. Christ paid the price. Read, mm-hmm. read your Hebrews, read your book of Hebrews about the finished work of the cross. And know yep. that it has happened if you have received him as your Lord and Savior, and then you can begin to walk in it. Colossians 2:8. Don't let man think, make you think, you know, some tradition of men. Walk
right.
in your salvation. Walk in it. Walk in it.
Yep.
Because he's done it for you. We got to jump. Christian, thank you. This was fun, yeah. man. Holy smokes. Well, I'm glad we got that in because I knew how it, that was so important for us to make that yeah. happen. Get these books, folks, Witnessing the End and also The Temple Revealed. You can pick those up at endtimesberean.com. endtimesberean.com. The author, Dr. Christian Widener. And stay tuned. Carrie Lake joins me coming up right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio.